one of a kinds, Nebraska. We're going over the Cornhusker State and all of their great foods. And I've got a special guest.
Hi.
It's my wife.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah.
Worldwide celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking about Nebraska.
Yeah. We'll be going over beef, beets, Battlestar Galactica. No, just beef and corn and other things.
Some potatoes and cabbage. Potatoes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cabbage.
For sure.
Yeah. And not the butterfly house at the Omaha Zoo.
No,
sadly.
Not at all. Or baseball. That's not a thing.
Not. No. So, but yeah, one of a kinds, Nebraska, coming up after this sponsor. Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Nebraska. Not really, it's one of a kinds, Nebraska. And I am here with my lovely wife, Kaylee.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
What do you know about Nebraska?
Well, I've never been.
Oh.
I don't know if I'll ever go.
Probably not.
I've probably flown over it.
Oh, yeah.
When we went to Missouri.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's about all I know, other than I think they also have a lot of cows and corn.
Yes.
So that's really all I know. It's one of those like flyover states, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So I don't know other than that.
Wow.
Yeah.
First off, Omaha Zoo. They have a big zoo. Nebraska. Yeah. It's very famous. A big butterfly dome.
I've heard of Omaha Steaks.
Correct.
Yeah.
Omaha Steaks. So cattle and all that good
Probably
stuff.
Probably a lot of pigs too.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of pigs.
Yeah.
Then you've got the College World Series that is always played in Omaha, Nebraska at... Yeah, you don't know the name of the stadium. Rosenblatt, I believe.
How would I know that?
It used to be called. But anyway.
Like, that's a common name.
If you played baseball, it was big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Big, big deal. Which actually, here, I'm going to actually try to like Google it because I don't even know if I got that right just now. Oh, no.
Yeah, Devin was wrong.
Yeah, I was
Who would have thought?
it's now called Charles Schwab Field,
it
Omaha.
Replaced Rosenblatt Stadium.
Yeah, Johnny Rosenblatt Stadium.
10, 11 years ago.
See, I remembered Rosenblatt Stadium way more than Charles Schwab will help your 401k.
Well, you didn't live out there.
Well, and it even says formerly TD Ameritrade Park, Omaha.
Well, yeah, all these stadiums have like sponsored names now.
Yeah, it's really
anyway.
Sad.
We're not Very talking sad. About baseball today.
I know.
We're talking about food,
right? Food from Nebraska. I just know it is Cornhusker State.
It seems like most things are in Omaha.
Right. Which is really close to the border. Like, yeah. Because nobody wants to, I think, live in this other part of it.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. You know. But as much as I make fun of Nebraska, I lived in a flyover state. I lived in Missouri. And we don't like being called a flyover state, but I think we're near them. So it's like by proximity, we, you know, we're there. But yeah, one of a kinds, Nebraska. You would think that I'm going, I hit my thing. You would think that I'm going to go heavy corn related things.
Yeah.
You'd be wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Very wrong.
Oh, wait. It's Nebraska or Kansas that aren't they? It's one of those two that eats chili on their cinnamon rolls, right?
That's
like the only other thing I know
about
Nebraska.
Yeah. Oh, maybe we'll see.
Oh, okay.
But onlyinyourstate.com goes over iconic foods of Nebraska. Their number three on the list is Dorothy Lynch dressing.
I've never seen that.
Look at the Dorothy Ever. Lynch dressing.
I've never seen that.
It, the colors make me automatically think that it is ketchup and catsup, but yeah, it's not.
The label looks like a hamburger,
right?
In a way.
It does.
Because there's like lettuce, tomato, right. And then there's like yellow for mustard, red for ketchup.
Yep. But it says...
That's dressing?
That is.
It's like an hourglass bottle. Why is it so...
Yeah. I don't even know if it's glass, though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know
hourglass figure. Have you not
heard of it? No. I'm saying like just the look of it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's plastic or glass.
Probably
you know?
Plastic.
Yeah. But it says here, try it on fries, chicken, fish, steak, sandwiches, vegetables. Maybe just stick a straw right in the bottle. It's that tasty.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder what's in it that makes it so good.
I don't know. It looks like an Italian, Russian
Yeah, it kind of looks like Russian dress, like the color of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Which I'm not a fan of, sorry.
I'm not a huge fan of either. And the thing is, Russian dressing, it's almost like if you have it on a salad, it has to have something on top of it. Like another meat or like shrimp.
Mm.
Like I've had a Russian dressing salad with shrimp, and it kind of gave you like a shrimp cocktail vibe.
Yeah, know? I like those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
But the next one here in Nebraska,
You
got a lot of grandmas and mamas and everything making raisin pie.
Oh, wow.
Raisin pie.
I mean, and it's not like I don't dislike raisins. Yeah. I think they're fine.
Right.
But if that's all the filling is, that's kind of throwing me off.
Yeah. It says here, raisin pie, while funeral pie may sound disheartening, eating it is anything but.
Oh.
You may have to know the right people, but this pie pleases some of the pickiest eaters.
Really?
Yeah, this pie was traditionally made as a gift and served after funerals because this pie doesn't require a refrigerator. Okay. That makes sense, actually, especially in the Midwest like that. Yeah, it became very popular among the Amish and Old Order Mennonites. Yeah, okay, no refrigerator.
So I'm guessing there's big communities there in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or German, right? Moving over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The rarity of this pie makes it impossible not to order it. Luckily, you can find it on the menu at several Nebraska restaurants. Or make it yourself, and it's got a link to the
I will
the
not
recipe
be doing
there.
That.
Yeah, I'm not going to be doing that either.
If you ordered it, I would be like, I'll try it just to try it.
See, my thing is kind of like pecan pie, right? There's other filling in between.
Is there?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. And so I just wonder what that filling tastes like in between. Because the raisins have kind of
maybe
like
hydrated.
It's like
jam.
Maybe it is. And that might make it
that would make
super
sense.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. But another one here. Kool-Aid.
That's cool.
Yeah. This is technically a beverage and not a food, obviously, but it's a Nebraska invention.
What?
And it's a vital part of any Nebraska foods feast.
I haven't had Kool-Aid in so long.
Oh, forever.
At least 15-ish years.
Yeah.
But I used to drink it all the time.
See,
when I was younger, because they had like those little squeeze bottles you could buy in the store, and it was just straight up sugar water.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I remember these packets like they had in the
too.
Picture.
That was a good flavor. The
it
what was it? Fruit
the tropical.
Punch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tropical.
Punch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And see, what I know, and granted, this is still very prevalent in communities in the South, is that you did not say what the flavor was. You said what the color was.
Oh, kind of like Gatorade.
Right. So when somebody said, hey, do you want Kool-Aid? And basically it was like, oh, well, what kind do you have? Basically, you didn't ask what flavors. You said, what kind do you have? And it was like, we got red and we got purple, or we got red and we got blue. We got red,
okay,
we got
but
orange.
Purple grape
yes.
was so good.
Oh, it was so good. It was it was even better with ice.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Kool-Aid with ice. I didn't know
Kool-Aid was made in Nebraska.
Yeah. I didn't if I had to guess like where is Kool-Aid from, I would have guessed somewhere in the South. South Carolina, Georgia. Yeah,
that would make sense.
Yeah, that's
but it was the Midwest.
It was the Midwest.
One of my favorite running jokes is the Kool-Aid man bursting through the wall.
Yeah.
And then he like steps back out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just
from Family Guy.
Yeah, I think so.
He's like, oh yeah.
Yeah,
and then it's like a funeral's going on. He's like, oh,
and then he steps.
I'm gonna leave.
I feel like that in a lot of situations where I'm like, I need to not be here.
Yeah. Well, I remember the Dane Cook comedy like thing that he did of the Kool-Aid man and like he broke into houses and stuff. My main thing was I will admit it was kind of odd because when I thought of it, it was like, oh, it's a glass pitcher. So like, how does he break through a wall? Like, I don't care how thick
you're asking the real questions.
Right. Right.
Maybe he's acrylic.
Right.
Because acrylic is supposed to be non-breakable.
Well, and it's like, you know, that then you're starting to get into like, is the Kool-Aid man, like his inside, like, does he have organs or is it?
Is he just liquid?
Right.
And then if it runs out, he's done. Right.
And you can see on the thing, like his facial features and stuff. Is that black licorice? Is it marker? Like, we don't know. We assume. Like, what if that, what if the black whatever was, like, burnt something? We wouldn't even know.
I mean, just have to enjoy him for who he is.
Right.
He bursts through walls.
Man. Yeah.
And then he steps back out.
Yeah.
And he provides us different flavors.
Right.
That are really good.
I was just a weird kid, and I'm like, how is that pitcher not breaking?
Well, I mean, it's a good question.
I can't even put it back in the fridge without somebody commenting on it. How is he breaking through walls?
Magic.
Yeah, magic. But the next one here, cheese Frenchies. And they're like square mozzarella bricks.
Ooh.
You could build a house with these. It says, or Frenchies or Frenchies, and it's got like different spellings. They're basically deep fried grilled cheese sandwiches.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
They will rock your world.
They have the shape, well, certain places or whatever, of like mac and cheese balls or whatever. Yeah. Or like fried mac and cheese.
I mean, yeah. It clearly, it's just dunked in a batter.
Yeah.
And then they deep fry it, which, you know,
that
deep fried bread is good. I don't know if you've ever had it.
I don't think so.
It is a popular Indian snack, but they use a different batter, obviously.
Yeah.
But like deep fried bread is really good.
As I've said,
yeah,
I think most things deep fried are pretty good.
Right. You can do butter,
most
Oreos. Yeah.
The butter, please.
I'm just saying. I bet in Nebraska you can find a lot of deep fried butter.
Probably. But I'm not surprised that this is from Nebraska.
Right. Yeah, this.
But I bet kids like go crazy for this.
Yeah, see that. I bet this is like a home run if this is for lunch.
Yeah,
like at school, they're like, "Oh, we're gonna have Frenchies today."
They're like, "Yay!" And it's like,
"Whoa!"
Yeah.
And then there's like one lactose intolerant kid, and everybody's like, "Hey, Tom, yeah, can I have your sandwich? Can I have your Frenchie? I want your Hey, Tom, I really liked what you did at kickball yesterday. Can I have your Frenchie?" Yeah.
See. It'd be hard to be lactose intolerant in a state like that.
Yeah. That or like you are allergic to peanut butter.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. That's like an immediate, like, you're not invited to anything.
If I was allergic to peanut butter, I think my life would be over.
I know.
Yeah, so that's one of my favorite
things. Well, and it's like, I think people forget, and we keep saying allergic to peanut butter. Peanuts.
Nope, it's just peanut butter.
Just peanut butter.
It's just Jif. But,
like, I mean, peanuts are in, like, a ton of things. Like,
yeah.
It's, yeah. But anyway, the next one on here, Reuben sandwiches.
Mm.
That's right. Another Nebraska invention. The Reuben has gained nationwide popularity. Some other states have tried to claim it as their own. We're looking at you, New York.
That's where but I thought.
The truth. Yeah, I kind of
did,
too.
You know,
at
all the
right.
delis and...
Katz. Yeah, uh-huh. Katz's mm-hmm. deli. And yeah, I thought the same thing.
Huh.
Yeah. But no, Nebraska, which to me, this makes sense because one, it's
the
rye
sauerkraut.
Bread. Right. The sauerkraut and the beef.
Yeah. It's like very German.
Beef. Yeah. So it could be either one, you know, but Nebraska does make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next one here, this one was a big one when it came
oh
to Missouri.
God.
Yeah. I remember the cheeseburger pizza. It took a Nebraskan to come up with the brilliant idea to combine two of the best fast foods in the world, pizza and cheeseburgers. The result is crazy delicious. Yeah, I do like the pickles on a pizza.
It's I bet good. It makes it like a little refreshing.
Yeah.
And like
yeah.
add some acidity.
Well, and it
depends otherwise it's like meat, cheese. Right.
It's literally like hamburger chopped up, and then you can tell by the topping, like it's like American cheese and mozzarella melted on top. And then the sauce, there are some pizza places that do barbecue sauce because it's a burger, which is odd.
I don't agree with
that. Yeah, I don't agree with it either. And then there's some places that do the red sauce, but then they try to put like a Big Mac spin on it by including like onions, like raw onion. And to me, it's just like, leave it at hamburger, pickles, and the mix of cheeses. Other than that, you don't need anything else.
I'm just going to keep eating them separately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is really good, though. I think if you made a Big Mac pizza,
that well, I'm would sure be someone has.
Well, yeah. I'm saying commercially, you know, wide. Out in the U.S., if you made a Big Mac pizza, it would be great. And the big thing with that is McDonald's can't make it.
Mm.
If McDonald's was like, we're going to make a Big Mac
I know,
Mac
but you can't
pizza,
use,
just loving it, meh.
You can't use the Big Mac sauce without their permission or whatever.
Well, we would make our own. Everybody knows what Big Mac sauce is. I mean, you can look up, I don't know how many recipes.
Yeah.
Or you could do cane sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Be a mashup. Yum.
But they don't have cheeseburgers.
No, they don't, which is why it's beautiful. Mm. Yeah. And then the next one here, butter brickle ice cream from Turkey Hill.
Brickle?
Yeah, brickle. It's basically like peanut brittle, but it's butter brickle.
Yeah.
Did you know this was a Nebraska invention as well? You can get butter brickle ice cream all over the country now. But it was invented at the Blackstone Hotel in Omaha, the same birthplace as the Reuben.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then Kaylee's favorite.
Is it? See?
Yeah.
See?
Nebraska chili and cinnamon rolls.
See? I knew it was one of the two.
Yep. So people from other states think we're crazy until they actually try this unlikely combination. The flavors complement each other so well that it's kind of hard to eat one without the other after you've been pairing them for so long.
So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because I think I've seen some chili recipes you put cinnamon in it.
Right. Right.
And it adds a little bit of like sweetness.
Correct.
And so I could, I would try this. Maybe once, but I don't think it is a good idea to, like, routinely have it.
Right.
Because chili's not, you know, unless it's, like, homemade chili and you know what you're putting in it, it's not usually good for you. And then cinnamon rolls, I love them, but they're just, like, sugar bricks.
So, here's my thing, and you can kind of tell by this picture. I've had it by accident once. Here's the key, and this picture is deceiving. The picture of the chili has melted cheese on top.
Oh.
And that's not a deal breaker, so to speak, but I'll admit it makes it a little weirder.
Yeah.
But the thing they do get correct, the cinnamon roll doesn't have icing on it.
Yeah, okay.
It's purely just cinnamon and sugar. And so most chilies, yes, it might have cinnamon in it. To add a particular flavor, you know, what have you. But the main thing is that really this is a sweet bread with mm-hmm. cinnamon and sugar going into chili.
Which has sugar.
Right.
And yeah. sometimes cinnamon.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's like a sweet roll getting dipped into a heavily spiced soup. And you have to have beans. I'll admit, if you're doing Texas chili, this is probably weird.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have beans and meat and jalapenos even, a sweet bread with it makes sense.
Yeah, it seems like the key here is no icing.
Right.
Because that would just make it
overly sweet.
Yeah, that would be really gross.
Really bad. And plus the icing kind of has like a vanilla-y type.
Yeah, usually. You know?
Yeah. Oh, man. But this is okay. This is not irk-worthy. It's very, you know, okay. Good for you, Nebraska.
Yeah.
They're like, we don't have hills, so we put cinnamon rolls on chili.
How do those connect?
Because they're bored. They're just like, let's put cinnamon rolls in chili. And
yeah.
Like, yeah, that's the way it goes. They're like, oh, look at Dave's cornfield. Oh, my God, I got to stick some cinnamon rolls in chili. I'm tired of looking at the same corn. It's like, yeah, so that's the way it goes. But once again, we go to our favorite friends over at the Food Network.
Nice.
And they're going for their Best Food in America, What to Eat. Series, and they have it in Nebraska. They say in Nebraska, what to eat is a bone-in ribeye.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, when travelers arrive in Nebraska, they often have one question. Where do I get some steak?
No, you know what? My first question is, why am I here?
Right, right. I'm in the wrong airport. Can I leave? That's, yeah.
Where's my layover?
The answer is both simple and complex. Oh, please elaborate, Food Network. It's served nearly everywhere, including small town steakhouses like the Speakeasy near Holdridge in the heart of central Nebraska, or Misty's, a Lincoln, Nebraska classic. One of the best steaks anywhere is served in the heart of Omaha at the Drover.
Wow.
Where the meat has been doused in a secret whiskey-based marinade for more than 40 years.
Mm.
Any cut can be whiskied, but we suggest the house classic, a bone-in ribeye.
Let's just slap some liquor on your meat.
Yeah. I was going to, you know, actually, this whiskeyed idea, I think most places should steal that from Nebraska.
Oh, yeah. That's I a bet good it idea. Makes it taste yeah. really good.
Oh, it tenderizes it?
The smokiness.
Like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I've never heard of that, though.
Yeah. Can I get a number two, the Big Mac meal? And can I have it whiskey?
Yeah.
Please?
Sir, this is a McDonald's.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oreo McFlurry. Can I have that whiskeyed?
Yeah, our ice cream machine's broken.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to Nebraska.
Welcome to Nebraska. Yeah. The next one here, a tin roof sundae. And when I read this, researching it, I actually have not heard this sundae, like this type of sundae's name, in a long time.
Yeah, I think I've heard of it, but I don't know what's in it.
So the tiny town of Potter, Nebraska is home to this big treat, an ice cream sundae that played with sweet and savory combinations long before it became a trend. Harold Dean Pinky Thayer came up with the combination, which tops chocolate ice cream with chocolate sauce,
ooh,
then a scoop of vanilla ice cream, then marshmallow cream.
Ooh.
The whole thing gets a sprinkling of skin-on Spanish peanuts.
Wow. That sounds so good.
It does. The Potter Sundry in town is the place to get one, and it draws tourists from around the globe to sample the dessert, especially in the summer. Yeah, it'd be very good, especially with the skin on, because the skin adds almost like a spiciness to it. Kind of like a dry spiciness, I should say, to something that has marshmallow floof. I love marshmallow
that
fluff.
That should be on more stuff.
Cream. Yeah. I love marshmallow fluff on ice cream. It's good. And then there's Omaha style pizza.
They have a pizza?
They have a style of pizza. Yeah. Though it might not be as well known as Chicago or New York, Omaha has its own specific style of pizza, and you'll find it at La Casa Pizzeria, an old school shop with an incredible neon sign out front. The crust is rich and sort of flaky, a buttery biscuit-like concoction served in a giant rectangle and cut into squares so that you can serve it in most schools across America. No, I made that up. The most popular topping combination is a layer of ground beef topped with onions and mushrooms. The tomato sauce is thin and bright, hidden between the crust and meat.
It kind of looks like frozen pizza.
Dude, it does. It looks like a fancier version of, like I said, the pizza they served in lunchrooms across America.
Yeah, it does.
And I've made square pizza before. Mm-hmm. Like, it's no hit on that. It's just when it's a thinner crust and it's square.
I think the biscuit part is interesting.
Yeah. It makes you want to see what the layers are, right? And they say that the sauce is light and bright or whatever, but this looks like normal sauce in this picture.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I don't know.
Yeah.
The next one here is the Strommer sandwich. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is a hefty boy. The Barrel Bar in Hastings, Nebraska deserves a special shout out for its uber creative way to fit as much ground beef onto a plate as possible. Their creation is called the Strommer, and it's been a mainstay at the Barrel as long as anyone can remember. The Strommer is a cheese charburger covered in meaty chili, served open-faced with a sliced onion on a single bun. It's like a chili cheese dog, except with more hamburger and better.
There's a bun on that plate?
I think it's on the bottom. then it's, you can actually get a Polish Strommer, their version of a chili cheese dog with Polish sausage at the Barrel Bar.
I'm not saying it looks bad. I bet it tastes good.
This looks like something that I would get home from working at Brahms or whatever in high school, and my mom would say, "Oh, hey, I made chili. There's some in the fridge when you get off." And it's like 1 a.m. and I walk in there and I go down to my basement where we had a microwave, and I'm like, "Oh, I'll grab hamburger bun." Well, I realize like the top bun has mold on it, so I get rid of it. And then I look at the bottom bun and I think it's fine.
It's literally like a dinner plate.
Right.
There's this hamburger or whatever swimming in chili.
Yeah, in chili.
Like it's literally at the edge of the plate.
Yeah.
And then there's just a whole onion.
Right. And that's what I would do. I'd grab the hamburger plus the bottom bun, set it on the plate, slather chili, cheese, and I'd be like, "Oh, I forgot the onion." And
it is swimming. It is swimming in chili and cheese.
There's way more chili and cheese than
there
is burger.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts looking. Then you've got Runza's. Which is a version of something else, and we'll get to that in a second. But okay. Runza's, it says if you're in a pinch for time, go to the restaurant Runza. If you've got time to spare, make your own homemade cabbage and beef barocks, or Barock, the German meat dish Runza's were based on. And then next here is the Barock. It is a true Nebraska original via a specific group of immigrants. Germans who immigrated from Russia. The Barock is a meat pocket loved statewide. Traditionally, the soft, just sweet bread is filled with a mixture of cabbage, onions, and ground beef. Cheese is often in there too. They've been made famous under another name, Runza, and are served in the Midwest thanks to a restaurant chain of the same name, as well as during Nebraska Cornhusker football games in Lincoln. But find a locally made version in McCook, where Sennert's Bakery serves their own version with a crustier exterior and heartily seasoned beef inside.
So it's like a hot pocket.
Yeah, it's like a hot pocket filled with beef, cabbage, onions, and sometimes cheese.
I mean, this looks better than a hot pocket.
Totally. To me, it reminds me of, like, not the color, but Hawaiian rolls that are stuffed and then, like, I don't know, like baked together.
Yeah, I'd eat that.
Yeah, I'd eat it. I think I've had a Runza before, and it was like a Hot Pocket in the sense that you like microwaved it.
Oh.
And I remember being kind of impressed, but at the same time, like when it's got kind of the same fillings as like corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah.
You're kind of just like, this is a corned beef and cabbage Hot Pocket.
See, you know, those Germans, they're bringing some good stuff.
They knew.
I should know because I'm part German, but.
Ooh.
And so are you.
Yeah, I think so.
That's where your last name comes from.
I think
so. Our last name.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. So that is Nebraska.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of beef.
A lot of beef.
Not as much corn as I was expecting.
Oh, yeah.
What?
So I can tell you why. So there were a couple of entries saying, like, oh, get corn in Nebraska. Like, duh. The main thing is I think the entire Midwest, period, like Missouri, Kansas, Iowa, you know, all those states, South Dakota even, North Dakota, you can get good corn pretty much in anywhere. Mm-hmm. I think the main reason why Nebraska is the corn husker state is because it has a lot of corn, but I think it is industrial corn.
Yeah, or for farming.
Right. It is meant for feed, ethanol, you know, different oils, mm-hmm. You know, whatever. Basically, it's industrial corn. Popcorn, mm-hmm. I bet.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of thing. And that's not to say that in Kansas or Missouri or whatever, they don't have industrial corn. It's just, I think when you have that much of it concentrated, it's one of those things where they're like, we want all these other foods we're known for.
Yeah, you can't eat all of that.
Right, right.
With corn is however many people live there.
Right. It's pretty one-dimensional.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make like a fritter. You can make cornmeal. Mm-hmm. But that's South. That's the South. I mean, they make, you know, they've been making cornbread and all sorts of stuff for a long time. So there's not much you can do that's like Nebraska corn. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think that's the main reason. You could
beef with it.
You could.
And cabbage.
All I can think is like they sear a 40-ounce whatever bone-in ribeye and they're like, yeah, let me have it whiskied and can I have it cornholed? And then it's a whole corn on the cob like stabbed into the heart of the meat. And they're like, do you want me to cut this for you, sir? And yeah, please.
Yeah.
And then the guy just slowly cuts the corn cob like down so that all the corn like lightly sprays across the plate. And he's like, oh, that one's kind of still coupled together. And they kind of like chop it up.
And then put some chili on there.
Yeah. I want it whiskied, cornholed, and chilied.
Yeah.
Just like a Stromer. And then grab all that, put it in a blender, and make a Reuben.
Oh, Nebraska.
Yep. And put it on top of my cheeseburger pizza.
Wow.
And for dessert, I'll have Butterbrickle ice cream and a tin roof sundae.
I don't think I'd like that.
No.
I don't really like brittle.
I remember having Butterbrickle at some point, and I remember just thinking in my head, like, this is like peanut brittle, but it doesn't have peanuts.
It's like buttery.
So it's just like caramel bricks. Mm. Like, you know, it's kind of there. But yeah, that is Nebraska's one of a kinds.
Wow.
They've got some winners in there.
Yeah.
They do.
It's not all corn and beef, so that's good.
Right. When I'm driving through Nebraska or flying over, and if they're like, oh, we're going to make a pit stop in Omaha, I'm going to be like, okay, fine. I am going to get a Runza. And some cheeseburger pizza, and you're going to be like, I want a tin roof sundae, and I want my steak whiskey. Yeah. Or the Frenchie. I forgot about the Frenchie.
I would try that.
Yeah,
the
Frenchie is a winner. Kool-Aid's a winner. Dorothy Lynch, I'm sorry, but I think you're probably the worst one on here. Raisin pie, at least some people could be like, only thing that got me over my grief was that raisin pie.
You can't say that about the dressing because you don't know what's in it.
I don't need to know.
You didn't put a description.
Look at that.
I want to know.
Dorothy has the name Lynch in her name.
Stop.
That's not good.
Stop. That's a pretty common last name.
Yeah, all right, fine. That was a stretch. But yeah, still, it looks like ketchup in a bottle. It really does. It looks like ketchup.
I'll try it.
I'd try it, yeah.
As long as it's not like Russian dressing, I'll try it.
Yeah. But no, I mean, like I said, they've got some winners.
Yeah, some interesting.
Yeah. The Stromer, I would totally try, but I don't think I could finish one.
I would end up in a hospital. Yeah.
Yeah, afterward. But yeah. But no.
Nice.
Yeah. As always, we gotta go in.
We gotta find the next place.
Yeah, the next state. Yeah. I gotta go to the random state generator.
Can I guess?
Here. Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm gonna guess New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, okay.
New Hampshire, New York, or Washington.
Ooh, okay.
If there's a Washington one episode, I want to be on that.
Right.
Because I love Washington. If I could afford to live up there, I totally would.
Totally.
It's so beautiful.
So, and just to remind everybody, we've done Alabama. We've done
Nebraska.
Yeah, we've done Florida. We've done Hawaii.
And Oregon.
We've done, let me look here.
The alphabet's hard.
I know, it's hard. I'm looking at a list of alphabetical.
Down. You're at M.
I know. Oh, there we go. Okay. Sorry, everybody. All right. Nebraska.
Yeah.
We just got done with that one. And then, yeah, Oregon.
And that was it, right?
No, we've done another one.
No. Florida? Did you delete that already?
Already got rid of Florida.
Okay. I think that was it.
Really? I've only done
'cause there's
five?
Only been, yeah, like four or five.
Hmm.
Including this one. So.
Yeah, including
yeah,
this one.
Yeah, do done. We're good. Do done.
Do done.
Do.
Why don't
click,
you?
Click done do.
Done do. Do done. You get that out of here.
Stop.
Okay. All right. So we've got our random wheel ready. You said New Hampshire?
I said New Hampshire, New York, or Washington, because two of those states wow. I really want to go to.
Yeah. Okay. So you're, all right, I get to pick three then.
Yeah, but they can't be mine.
Right. So yeah. I'm going to do Kentucky.
Oh.
Idaho.
Yep.
And South Dakota.
Oh.
Yep.
Kind of all over.
All over.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I am.
Oh, yeah.
Spin it.
Spinny, spinny, spin, spin, spin.
Oh, okay. Zooming in.
Spinny, spin, spin, spin.
Oh, my God. Heck yeah, dude.
New Hampshire.
That is so, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because whenever I guess stuff, right, like for a competition or what, I don't win anything.
Yeah.
I don't get things right.
Wow.
I mean, that
went right on it.
Yeah. Like, it's right in the middle, folks. Not on the edge. It's, there's no,
wow,
nothing. It is New Hampshire.
New.
No debate.
Hampshire.
I don't know what's there.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I
think maple syrup, like with Vermont, but that could be more Vermont.
Right.
And Vermont's got cheese. Vermont's got Ben and Jerry's.
It's kind of like Rhode Island. I don't know what's there either.
Right.
It's northeast area outside of like Vermont and Maine. I don't know.
Was that Delaware?
Oh, I don't know what's in Delaware either.
Well, I was trying to think of which was the first state to sign the Constitution.
It was not New Hampshire.
The Declaration of Independence? I can't remember.
It was not New Hampshire.
I don't think so.
I know that.
Maybe New Hampshire was like the holdout. They were the last one.
Right.
I don't know.
The last of the 13.
Yeah. Hard to remember the 13 colonies, you know?
Well, because most of them are Delaware and New Hampshire and, you know, Rhode Island. Or it's like, unless you live there or like to go there, yeah. You're not going to know.
I know. Connecticut, that's another one. I always remember Connecticut because it was a hard one to spell. So everybody's like, connect, I cut.
Yeah.
And it made you feel like a dum-dum. But yeah, no, New Hampshire. We will be going full throttle there.
Nice.
I want to thank my lovely wife, Kaylee, for helping me, you know, really get through Nebraska, just like on a good old road trip.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah. I know more about Nebraska now.
Yeah, you'll be ready.
If I'm ever there, I don't know when, but if I am, I know what to eat.
Right. I can use Nebraskan food as a, like, if the world goes into an apocalypse and I have like children, or I have a small class of like apocalyptic kids that are trying to remember the old ways, I'll be like, there was a foreign land named Nebraska.
Why would you be a teacher in the apocalypse?
Because I got a beard, and when I get old, I think I'll look kind of Santa-y. And so
Santa's not a teacher.
I know, but they'll look up to me like an elder.
That's what you think.
Probably not. They'll be like, that's that old fat guy that farts a lot.
No.
And he always talks about runzas. We don't even know what those are.
He loves corn and beef.
And he likes corn and beef. And all he talks about is beef. And he has a cat that eats beef. And I'm just like, you don't talk about Benny that way.
Aw.
Yeah.
Biscuit likes beef, too.
Biscuit does like beef. Yeah. Just not as much as Benny. Benny likes beef like it's his friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Benny would ride a cow.
Also loves French fries.
Loves French fries.
So, he
can't get enough of them.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll see everybody next time on One of a Kind.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.
We're going to see you next time on One of a Kind.
Bye.
This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Ream, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.